And there was one man in the book of Acts that was definitely called of God, and we read this account in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, if you have your Bibles. I'm not sure if it's going to be on the screen as well. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40, we read about the man of Ethiopia, the eunuch. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the waters, and he baptized him. Now when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us, and Pastor, as he comes in just a short while to expound that word.
If you have your Bibles with you, brothers and sisters, would you please take it out and open it up to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and we'll read verses 16 through 20. God's word says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" Father, as we open your powerful, inspired book, I ask that you teach us, Lord, by the Spirit, all your truth. And by your truth, Lord, sanctify us. Encourage us. Help us to grow mature in our faith so that we will no longer be like babes that will be tossed to and fro with other winds of doctrine. But I pray that we will be strong and steadfast, faithful to you and to your teachings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Dearly beloved, tonight we are all here and privileged to be a part of a special event which the church has been doing for many, many years. In fact, water baptism, if you don't know, has been a part even of the early church. If you open the book of Acts, right there in the opening chapters of the book of Acts, you will see Christians, believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ being baptized. And we know that in the Gospels, baptism has been a big topic. We have the big persona of John the Baptist, who preached about repentance, and where he baptized people who repented and who showed fruit of repentance in their lives. And we see also Jesus being baptized by that same man, John the Baptist. Of course, he refused in the first place. He said, how can I baptize? I'm not worthy to baptize you. But Jesus Christ said, no. I must obey, fulfill the commands, the words of the scripture. And so right there and then, Jesus Christ in the Jordan River was baptized by John the Baptist. And I don't know about you, but if you've been to church many years of your life, I know you have seen services like this. I know for a fact that hearing stories from members here at Central Mountains Baptist Church, we had one baptism in a river somewhere here in the mountains as well, years ago. And then, of course, we have done it here at Warimu. We thank the Lord for this church that's been our venue, even last year, for baptizing a few of our brothers and sisters. Back in the Philippines, because we are very near beaches, we often would do baptism in the beach. And it's a unique experience, because come to think of it, it's a worship service on the beach. But it's also as precious as this is. But this evening, dearly beloved, before we do baptize Noah, let's go to the scriptures and see what the scriptures tell us about water baptism. I think it's important to understand what this is about, knowing that water baptism is one of the two ordinances of Jesus Christ, commands of Jesus Christ to his people to do until he comes. The first one we did this morning, the Lord's table. And what a beautiful day it is indeed that in the evening we get to do the second one, water baptism. And so let's have a few questions here this evening and answer them biblically to know what the Bible teaches about water baptism. So the first question is, what is baptism? Now before we dive into what it is, let me describe what it is not. Because there's a lot of misconceptions about water baptism. First is, baptism does not mean regeneration or forgiveness of sin. We know, dearly beloved, that regeneration is a judicial act performed by God, founded in His grace through the blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have a few passages here that tells us this important fact. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse number 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. You see, justification is truly an act of God alone. We have no part in it. The waters of baptism cannot cleanse you from sin, cannot regenerate you. It's only the act of God. So that we further see in Romans, now in chapter 5, verse number 1, that Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see in this very verse that we are justified by God through our faith. If you jump to verse number 9, it says, much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ so that His death there on the cross becomes applicable to us. His blood is applied to us. That's why the hymn tells us, ask several questions. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not the waters of baptism, dearly beloved. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Another verse here from Romans. Romans chapter 4, verse number 25. Let me read from verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So you see, dearly beloved, the important word here that I want us to understand is the word raised, resurrection. You see, by the act of God, the judicial act of God, founded in His grace through the blood of Jesus Christ, it was completed, of course, on the day when Christ resurrected from the dead. You see, a dead Savior is no good. How can a dead Savior save us when He cannot also resurrect from the dead? Now, dearly beloved, this is the argument. Since Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we are also promised that same resurrection. And because of that, we are promised eternal life. Now, Titus chapter 3, verse 7 concludes this topic of being justified by God alone in His grace through the blood and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the words here echo an important a doctrinal statement that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And even the writer here tells us this is a faithful saying. This is something worth putting your faith in. We are justified indeed by His grace. So, dearly beloved, basing on these verses and other verses, if you check Romans, Ephesians, you understand that baptism, even no matter how many times you'll be dipped in the water, cannot erase your sins, cannot forgive you, cannot regenerate you. No. Only God can declare us not guilty by His grace through the blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, you know, I believe that there is less preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ nowadays. Not a lot of sermons, not a lot of teachings, not a lot of preachings about the blood of Jesus Christ. I think there's a way wherein our culture comes into the church and kind of like makes us politically correct. We don't want to mention blood. We don't want to mention Jesus Christ as sacrificing Himself for us, that He died. No, dearly beloved, we cannot disregard it. We cannot erase it. That is an important doctrine that we must hold on to. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed, that can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So water baptism, dearly beloved, is not a way to salvation, nor it is one of the steps towards salvation. Some religious organizations tell us that, oh, it's one way. So if you do this, if you get baptized, that's one way. One point. And if you do nothing, another point. And then when you reach 100 points, maybe you go. Still maybe. The Bible never teaches that water baptism is a way of salvation. So if you go to what it is, by way of definition, baptism is an outward symbol. We will see Noah later on getting baptized here. It's an outward symbol. We will see him get into the water and he will come out of the water. It will be quick. I will not drown him to death. We explained that to him. It's going to be quick. So it's an outward symbol of an inward reality of dying to self and sin, but living in Christ. That is water baptism. It means identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That is the essence of water baptism. It's a symbol. And so if you go back to Romans, dearly beloved, Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 13, oh, the Apostle Paul gives us here the inward reality that water baptism symbolizes. Let me read this to us. Therefore, says Paul, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Really, beloved, Paul here explains the inward reality that baptism explains. So what does Paul say? When Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And the word of God tells us here that he died only once. Once and for all. But the scripture also tells us that he lives unto God. He lives forevermore. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords who will reign forevermore. And when a sinner trusts Christ as Savior, in a sense, by virtue again of the grace of God, by our faith, and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection, we are baptized into Christ. Meaning, we died to ourselves. We were buried. That's a symbol there. And then we will be taken out of the water when you're baptized. Symbol of resurrection. Now you're coming out of the water. That's no longer you. The old you died. The old me died. I don't longer live. But the word of God tells us, I live by faith the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now it's Christ who lives through me. Water baptism then is only for those who have heard the gospel of Christ and believed it. Only for Christians. Only for saints. Important aspects of salvation like repentance from sin and bringing forth of a fruit of worthy of it are to be required of those who want to be baptized. So when a believer is baptized, he or she is being obedient to the command of Christ. Since that reality is true in you, inwardly. There's nothing you can see, of course. It's spiritual. Christ now says, I command you to let that inward reality be shown in a public way. Go and be baptized. It's what Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 28. So a part of his great commission, as we are going, Christ says, as we are going and you're making disciples of all nations, baptize. Baptize. If you want to truly let the world know Christ and see Christ in you, it starts with you obeying Christ's command to let that inward reality be shown in an outward form. Water, baptism, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, says the Lord Jesus Christ. So, one writer says, water baptism then is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ to be practiced until the end of the age. Dear beloved, someday we'll no longer be here, but if Christ returns, tarries, the church is commanded to continue to baptize. It should be practiced until the end of the age, which signifies a believer's union with Christ in his life, death, burial, and resurrection. And in some other church, like in my home church, it also signifies one's membership in the church. Now, some churches do that differently. Other churches like ours, you need to do a separate class for membership. And that's fine. That's okay. There's some other, from other church do that, that in baptism, you become also a member of the church, God's new covenant people. So that is baptism. The next question this evening, dearly beloved, is who should be baptized? I think it's already pretty clear from the topic that we discuss here, what is baptism? But to be clear, there are two requirements here for those who must be baptized. Number one, those who believed. And of course, we go to the passage here that was read to us by Brother David. In Acts chapter 8, this is one of the passages that we see in the New Testament. And there are others as well in the Gospels where it tells us that believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Christ as Savior, is a main requirement for anyone who would want to be baptized. Verses 36 to 38 of Acts chapter 8. So here we see that the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other prophet, when he was reading the prophet Isaiah? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at his scripture, preached Jesus to him to give a fuller understanding of the word of God there from the Old Testament. Now, as they went down the road, the word of God tells us, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, the eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the river, to the water, and he baptized him there. Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is crucial. It's a requirement. You need to be saved first. That's why, dearly beloved, according to our teachings, we don't baptize babies. Because we believe in the believer's baptism. Only those who have been saved by grace through faith is baptized. So that last year, if you remember, dearly beloved, I preached from this passage and we said that there's a dilemma today wherein a lot of people who are not saved are baptized. In the Philippines, this is true. And then there's a lot of Christians are not baptized. They refuse to be baptized. They delay in following Christ's command in baptism. And that's really a paradox. How come? Because Christ says only those who are saved must be baptized. And those who are saved must obey the command of God to be baptized. Oh, dearly beloved, if you're here this evening, you're a Christian, you have trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe for weeks now, for months now, for years now, my encouragement to you is obey the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Follow him in the waters of baptism. But the second is not only those who believed, but I believe those who repented from their sins. In other words, they must show the fruit of repentance in their lives. Acts 2:38 tells us this. With Peter's situation here, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is an important part of our Christian life from the moment we trusted Christ as our Savior. It means that there's a change of mind there. And it's just about change of mind from negative to positive. That's what some churches do right now. Oh, you need to change your negativity into positivity. I don't think that's the right interpretation of repentance. It's a change of mind with what God says about sin. Sometimes people want to erase sin. They want to get away from, you know, this terminology, transgression, sins, because they want to just hush it. No, dearly beloved, we need to use the biblical terms so that we get the biblical results. So repentance is agreeing with God with what sin is and who you are. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And therefore, we must change the way we look at sin. It's repugnant against God. God hates sin. And we have a Savior. And we must put our trust on the only Savior that God sent, Jesus Christ. And therefore, as what we read from Romans chapter 8, we must have a change of life as well, as the Spirit empowers us. We should then change our mind. This lifestyle that I had, this sinful habits that I did, this is the past. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm no longer like that anymore. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm walking in the newness of life now with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why these two are important. Believing and repenting. Because there is a doctrine nowadays, dearly beloved, the easy believism doctrine. That they say as long as you believe, but they don't necessarily preach repenting from sin. So they just believe in the name of Christ, trust Christ as Savior, but oh, it's okay. You can just live your life just as you are. You know, you're good. You know, God will never do that to you. Oh, wait, that's a hard thing to change, right? That's fine. Dearly beloved, no. True salvation demands true transformation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become. The third question is, how should one be baptized? There are two answers to this. The first is by water immersion. By water immersion. And the second is in the name of the triune God. So water immersion, the word baptism in our New Testament especially, comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse or dip. If you want to be strict even with how this is really founded in its root, it's to fully immerse. That's the word there. To fully immerse something in a fluid. To baptize then, dearly beloved, means to completely submerge a believer or a Christian in water. In a biblical sense, to baptize a person in water means to put that person completely under the water, then immediately raise him up or up again. The fact that baptism in water is to be by full immersion is further validated, says one author, by its being likened biblically to a burial. In other words, it looks more related to what happened to Jesus Christ. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. We therefore buried with him through baptism, Romans chapter 6. And having been buried with him in baptism, Colossians chapter 2, Paul tells us that. That's why we hold on to this practice of really fully immersing the baptism candidate in the water. Not sprinkling, not pouring, immersing. And we see this example all over the New Testament. We see that with the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. They needed that much water to baptize Jesus Christ in the Jordan River and others. So that's how one should be baptized, fully immersing him or her in water. The number two, of course, in the Great Commission formula of the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That is the baptism formula that we believe each believer, each follower of Christ must be baptized. Baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the last question, dearly beloved, this evening is this. Why should one be baptized? I think all of us can now formulate the answers. Having heard all of this Q&A, I'm sure you have in your mind now reasons why one should be baptized. One, of course, it is obedience to Christ's command. It is obedience to Christ's command. We have read Matthew 28 already. It is the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to be baptized. The next step for a Christian is to follow the Lord in water baptism. Publicly declaring his faith, identifying himself with Christ. But secondarily, why should we baptize? Exactly what I've said a few seconds ago. It's to publicly confess or profess faith in him. Oh no, God is a master teacher. He's really good in using simple things to explain what may be something that we cannot see, like an inward thing. And baptism is one of those object lessons that God uses. Because, I mean, how can you describe something inside that happens to you? But in the wisdom of God, he gave us this command to be baptized. So that every time someone goes out there, that in itself is already a testimony. That in itself is already a profession. That in itself is already identification with Christ. Especially when you're baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. You're trying to tell the world, hey, I'm a follower of Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Jesus Christ who lives in me. But, you know, if you open to Acts chapter 2, as we think of the third reason, there might be others. I'm sure if you raise your hand this evening, you can give me another reason or two. But if you open to Acts chapter 2, verse 41, there's an interesting phrase here that we often don't highlight. The Word of God tells us these words. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Who's that to them here? It's the church. It's the church. So that's what I've said, dearly beloved. Water baptism, even in my home church, is also a way to be added to as membership in the church. Now again, it can be done that, or it can be done the way we do it here. But here in Acts chapter 2, when the people were baptized, how many of them here? The Word of God tells us? Many. 3,000. About 3,000. It's a lot. 3,000. They were added to them, the church. Now, even if we don't do this, even if we do another class for church membership, just being baptized here, dearly beloved, this evening, give us a sense, the gravity of truly belonging to the family of God. That all of us here who are baptized can truly sense that this brother, who's now being baptized and professing to be a follower of Christ, you can truly say, ah, that's my brother. He's one of us. He's a part of the body of Christ, and that's precious. That's precious. I know some of you are maybe involved in some clubs or some organizations, but dearly beloved, there is no other precious body where you can be a part of than the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be a part of the most expensive club in Sydney, where you have some really nice buildings and only members can enter into the premises of that restaurant, and you need to wear coat and ties. You know, the food is expensive. You can't go in there unless a member can go in there with you. You know, all those kind of like clubs, you know. And you feel special going into that. And like, whoa. And I'm like, oh, that's the premiere. Oh, hi. Like, you know, and you see the other table, maybe an actor there or the governor there or whatever. And you feel so big because you're with this guy who's a part of that club. But really, dearly beloved, an eternity view. Don't ever miss to be a part of the body of Christ. That's the most important body that you can be a part of. And when you get baptized, when you commit yourself to follow the Lord in water baptism, the rest of us who are baptized, like have this jump in our hearts, you know, just like the pinch in our heart. Oh, he's truly one of us. And that is a blessing. And I hope that many of you who have not yet followed Christ in water baptism will decide. I don't know what your reasons are, why you haven't yet decided to get baptized. Maybe you're scared, you're afraid, and no, and I discussed about that. Being Christians, we do have enemies, and the Word of God tells us that they are not of flesh and blood, but against warring, against principalities, against the power of darkness of this world, but we must never be afraid. God gave us full armor. And we have the church who will be there to support us. So fear, don't let that be a reason to hinder you. Or apprehension. If you're apprehensive because of some things, maybe you don't know, you don't fully understand. We have here your brothers and sisters ready to explain to you what this is about. I'm ready. The deacons are ready. Our preachers here are ready. They can easily open up the Word of God and tell you what baptism is. Or maybe you're also thinking of what will others say? What will my friends say? What will my family say? Maybe they're not Christians. You're more concerned of other people's thoughts about you. But oh, I was deeply reminded of what Brother David has prayed this evening. I must remember, if we deny Christ, there's a deep consequence in that. He will deny us also before the Father. You don't want that. There's only one way to go for a Christian, and that is to boldly declare, I am Christ's. That is the only way. And whatever the world does to me, I am not afraid. Because Christ did promise, Matthew 28, I am with you, even to the end of the age. So dearly beloved, we praise the Lord for a brother this evening. He's going to follow Christ in water baptism. May we rejoice with him. May we glorify the Lord for the decision that he made through the call of Christ in his life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that guides us into all aspects of our lives. I pray now that you bless our time as we baptize our brother Noah. I ask, dear Lord, that all of us who have been baptized here will be reminded of our own baptism. And may this encourage us to continue to faithfully walk with you, to serve you continually, and until you come, O Lord, be faithful to you. And for those, maybe, Lord, who have not yet baptized, but they confess the name of Christ, I pray, O Lord, tonight, this baptism will be an encouragement to them to make that decision. As Christ calls, come follow me. May they respond with, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Yes, Lord, I will confess you before men. Thank you so much for brothers and sisters, friends and family who are here. I pray that you now shower the most precious blessings upon us. In Jesus' name I pray.